Chapter 12, The Second Test. When the spirit that had sinned in Adam was reborn into Jesus, would it again need to be tested before administering to mankind? Would God have to test Jesus to see if, like Adam, his flesh would cause him to sin? According to the Gospel of Matthew, after Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist, he was driven into the wilderness where the devil tempted him for 40 days. This would seem to parallel the temptation of Adam in the garden. However, according to the Gospel of John, on the third day after his baptism, Jesus gathered a few disciples and journeyed to Cana, where he performed his first recorded miracle. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." John 2:3-4. Jesus' mother apparently knew he had the power to perform miracles, and Jesus read her mind. When Jesus said, "Mine hour is not yet come," it makes one wonder if perhaps Jesus was not supposed to administer to mankind until after his test in the desert. Regardless, being obedient to his mother, Jesus proceeded to change water into wine. John was the only gospel writer to mention the miracle at the wedding. Since he says the wedding occurred 3 days after Christ's baptism, it had to be before the temptation in the desert, which took 40 days. All that said, we can conclude that according to the Bible, during the second temptation, the Son of God was better resistant to the temptation of the flesh for several reasons. One, with Adam, the spirit of the Son of God was split between a male and a female, doubling the flesh dominance. Temptation. With Jesus, the spirit was not split. Jesus did not have a female mate to be his helpmeet. 2. Adam from the Garden of Eden was spirit dominated by flesh. Jesus was flesh dominated by spirit. 3. Jesus may have had a spiritual recollection of the mistakes made in his past life as Adam, and thus be less likely to make the same mistake twice. Unlike the first Adam, the second Adam, Jesus of Nazareth, passed the test. By passing the test, Jesus gained the opportunity to administer the will of God to mankind. At the end of his ministry, as described in John chapter 17, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the scene where Jesus is betrayed by Judas to the mob sent by the chief priest who wanted him dead. While waiting for his betrayer and the mob, Jesus got on his knees and prayed. John 17:1-5 says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." More than once, I have speculated that Jesus, the second Adam, was sent to complete the mission given the first Adam. "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do," would indicate that he did indeed complete the mission. My statement that Jesus was flesh dominated by spirit may be reiterated by, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. One might still question the theory that Jesus was basically the reincarnation of Adam. To this I say, look closely at Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane. If Jesus had come to earth for the sole purpose of delivering God's message, and then suffering and dying to pay for the sins of mankind, even though he had absolutely nothing to do with said sins, his return to glory in heaven would be a given, and there would be no reason or need for him to get on his knees and beg. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. John 14:6 states, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because of a spiritual recollection of his first life as Adam, Jesus knew the domination of flesh over spirit, and he knew that because of that flesh domination, all men were sinners by default. The church says we were born in sin because of Adam's original sin. A better interpretation would be that we were all born sinners because our spirits are those cast out of heaven with Satan. And we were all of the flesh, which means our flesh needs will continue to dominate our spirit. The combination of a flesh body and the knowledge that comes with a spirit creates a nearly impossible scenario for living without sin. Jesus knew that no man on earth could live without sin because no man on earth could totally avoid the needs and temptations of the flesh. Again, I suspect that when Jesus spoke of being reborn of the Spirit to gain eternal life, he was actually speaking in reference to his own experience. Was Jesus telling us that since as human beings we are all sinners by default, and since none of us will ever have the opportunity to actually be reborn, conceived by the Holy Spirit, as he was, we will have to receive our salvation through him? Is that what being reborn is all about? Accepting Jesus and his teachings, and then living accordingly so that at the death of our flesh bodies, we too might return to heaven to the position we held before this world? It would seem that Jesus was forgiven his original sin as Adam when he received baptism by John in the River Jordan. Thus raises the question, why did Jesus have to suffer and die on the cross? The church teaches us that God sent his only Son to earth to suffer and die for the sins of mankind. Sins, the church claims, he had absolutely nothing to do with. According to scriptures, Jesus died on the cross voluntarily. He had the power to stop the crucifixion at any time. Why then, we must ask, did Jesus choose to end his earthly life in such a fashion? His martyrdom has had an enormous effect on humanity. Not only did he die on the cross, but according to Scripture, 2 or 3 days later, he rose from the dead, appeared to and spoke with several of his disciples, and then eventually ascended into heaven. Wow, what an exit! And had Jesus not risen from the dead, we probably would not be talking about him today. If Jesus had simply died of old age, he would not have left nearly the lasting impression. When heroes die young, they are remembered much longer. Did God of the Bible give the Son of God authority over angels and over the earth? Let us make man in our image. One can only assume that God is talking to the Son of God. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. God had given the Son of God power over all mankind. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The world had become the responsibility of the Son of God. When angels become disobedient, God casts them out of heaven and onto the earth. Thus, was it not the Son of God that came to earth first as Adam and then as Jesus, as a good shepherd, to try and save his lost sheep, the souls of humanity? Did the Son of God realize, having been here as Adam, that because of the needs of the flesh, no man on earth was going to be able to live without sin in order to return to heaven?